When I was a little kid, growing up in Oswego, you know, 1 minute from Iowa, basically, there was a doctor's office in the town, and that's where we would go, of course, when we were sick. And there was a nurse there who, I just despised this woman. She was scary, she was mean, I mean, I'm like five, you know what I mean? And I like remember saying to my mom, every time I would get sick, and we would go there, and here she would come with her strep throat swab and all this stuff. I would say, "Mom, I hate it here." And she would say, "We won't be here that long. Don't worry." Many of you are experiencing being back in school, and you're sitting in stats class, or AP Literature, or Chem, or Gym, and you think to yourself, "I hate it here." And you think to yourself, "There's not that much longer left in the day. I can do this." Some of you head into the city every day, or you go to work and you sit at a table filled with people who have perfectly clipped fingernails and coiffed hair, and you talk about nothing for 45 minutes, and then you go home, and you think, "I hate it here." And then you think, "Home is calling me. I can make it through. There'll be dinner when I get there. There'll be communion when I get there. Or there will at least be not this when I get there." Sometimes when I look around at the way the world is, if you look at the state of the world, the state of the church, I think about today as we commemorate the attacks on September 11th, and you just look at the state of things and I think, "I hate it here. I just want to go to heaven." You know what I mean? But it's not about escaping. It's not about running away. But it's about something that is a deep and utter fulfillment of everything that I have been promised, which is something that is far different than just running away. I do have a lot of problems. Those of you who know me know that I have a lot of problems. And I would like to get away from them. But more than anything, I want to go and live in the kingdom that I have been promised, that I believe deep, deep, that what we heard about being promised to Moses, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky, and that there would always be a place in the covenant of God for them. I believe deep, deep, that I am a member of those ancestors, that there is a place reserved for me in a kingdom that is not of this world. We're hearing a lot in the news, of course, about kingdoms and kings and queens, and the world marks the death of Queen Elizabeth. And for some, that is a great tragedy. There are some people who do not see that as a tragedy. But nevertheless, you hear now all these conversations about coronations and kingdoms and monarchs, and what does it mean? To me, if I was offered the chance to be a king, a monarch, I would not choose to be a monarch in a constitutional monarchy, because a constitutional monarch, as they have in the United Kingdom, is essentially a dead person. Queen Elizabeth, for 70 years, was never able to speak publicly about what she actually thought or wanted or hoped or visioned. She was a figurehead representing something very powerful. The king and queen of the United Kingdom are the last monarchs in the world to be coronated in a sacramental ceremony. We can have a debate later about Anglican sacraments if you want, but that's what they believe, that this is a liturgical action, and that to be crowned as the monarch of the United Kingdom is something like something sacramental. So much so that when Queen Elizabeth was crowned, and it was the first ever televised coronation in human history, it was her instruction that people come and stand in between her and the cameras at the moment that she was anointed with oil as the queen, because she felt like that was such an intimate and special moment not to be ruined by the vision of broadcasting that all over the world. So we think about it and we think of kings and queens in terms of fairy tales. We think about how nice it would be to be a king or queen and have the flowing robes and the cool house, and I'm sure it would be very nice to have that. I already have the flowing robes. No, I just need a cool house, I guess. Crown me, baby. No, just kidding. I was looking around and I found a letter from C.S. Lewis, you know, the great writer, the Narnia writer, Screwtape Letters, you know C.S. Lewis. And in a letter in 1953, he was reflecting with someone in the United States about the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. He said this, "You know, over here, people did not get the fairy tale feeling about the coronation. What impressed most who saw it was the fact that the queen herself appeared to be quite overwhelmed by the sacramental side of it. Hence, in the spectators, a feeling of one hardly knows how to describe it, awe, pity, and mystery. The pressing of that huge, heavy crown on that small, young head becomes a sort of symbol of the situation of humanity itself. Humanity called by God to be his vice regent, yet feeling so inadequate, as if God said, in my inexorable love, I shall lay upon the dust that you are glories and dangers and responsibilities beyond your understanding." Do you see what I mean? One has missed the whole point unless one feels that we have all been crowned and that coronation is somehow, if splendid, a tragic splendor. Isn't that beautiful? But this is the Christian view, you guys. The Christian view is that Jesus is king. That the kingdoms of the world, we can look at them and say, I hate it here. Because we believe that we do not belong to those kingdoms. And I can guarantee you that if you're anything like me, even a little bit, a lot of your problems, a lot of your sins, and a lot of your discontent comes from the falsely rooted belief that this kingdom is all there is for you, and we gotta fight like heck to make it be what it is. But as Christian people, we are grafted onto the body of Christ. We are dead to sin. We are dead even to death, and brought up and raised to life, and grafted onto the body of Christ, and he is our king. He is our monarch. And this is not a constitutional monarchy. This is an absolute monarchy, a best kind of monarchy, because he is the one who is the sovereign power over all the earth and heavens and sea and sky. And in his inexorable love for us, he's looked upon us as his creatures and said, you guys are a bunch of dust, and I have chosen to sanctify your dust that you might become like me, that you might live with me. That the way of this world, with all of its danger and responsibility, and even with its glories, the world's not all bad, but I am calling you to something greater, to something more. In the letter to Timothy in the second reading, you heard Paul use the phrase Christ Jesus 4 or 5 times. Paul loves the phrase Christ Jesus, and he hardly ever uses the phrase Jesus Christ. It all means the same thing, of course. There's a great new biblical translation of the Bible by a scholar named N.T. Wright, who's from the United Kingdom, as a matter of fact. And in his New Testament translation, he does not use the word Christ in Paul's letters. He replaces the word Christ with the word King. So you can read Paul's letter and you can hear Paul say, I'm grateful to him who has strengthened me, King Jesus, our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to ministry. The grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with faith and love that are in King Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves acceptance. King Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul speaks about Jesus as if Jesus is truly the monarch of his kingdom, as if Paul is really a knight or a regent or some ambassador or court member of a kingdom with a king who he knows personally. And he speaks that way because that's exactly what he is. So I'm not saying this to be pious, and I'm not saying this to, instill in us fuzzy feelings about how nice it will be when we're in heaven with King Jesus. I'm telling you, it's good to look around the world which is fallen and passing away, and say to yourself, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. Why? Because I know that there is a kingdom who I've already tasted in the Eucharist. I've already heard the words of the kingdom in the confessional. I've already felt the balm of the kingdom as I'm anointed with the holy oil at confirmation, ordination, baptism, and when I'm anointed with the sick. I believe there is another place. I believe that that place is being prepared for me to enter it. And that fills me with hope. And because of that, I can look at all the tragedies of this world and I can mourn them. And we can pray today for the people who lost their lives 21 years ago in the September 11th attacks. We can mourn the loss of a worldly queen who died, of course, on the birthday of Mary, right? The queen of heaven and earth, September 8th. And we can look at our world and we can dedicate ourselves to it. We can give ourselves to it to make it what it could be. Maybe you know that great British patriotic hymn, I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love. A love that asks no questions, a love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best, a love that never falters, a love that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted the final sacrifice. We can live that way on earth. We can give ourselves and spend ourselves here, but motivated and in service of something greater. Let me just leave you with the last verse of that beautiful hymn, I vow to thee, my country. So we've just sung about service and giving ourselves to the earth. But there's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king. Her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering, and soul by soul and silently her shining bounds increase, and all her ways are gentleness, and all her paths are peace. So brothers and sisters, let us head first in the direction that King Jesus leads us. We hate it here. It's okay to say that. And it's okay to feel that very deeply. But don't let yourself despair in that, because King Jesus calls you unto himself.